Well, good afternoon. I'm so glad that you all could make it here today as we have the opportunity to both remember and celebrate the life of Jesse Curley, born September 28, 1937, and passed into the arms of her loving Heavenly Father this past Sunday, August 10, 2025. What can you say about Jesse? She is an amazing woman. And while on this earth she was encouraging, she was sweet, she was a bit sassy, and she could bring it. You know, I mean, she could. I love that about her. You know, there's a lot of power in that height right there. She was so much fun. Best part about Jesse, though, is that she knew, loved, and accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior and Lord, which made her family here on earth and is family forever as we walk into his kingdom if we know him. And from what I understand, Jesse said that this time today was going to be under an hour. And so for Jesse, we're going to keep it that way. The power, I believe, is going off in an hour. And we're going to do that in honor of her. So I'm going to be quiet and now open us in a word of prayer, a short word of prayer. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesse is in your presence. And as we speak, she is taking in everything that you have promised her. Thank you for her life. Thank you for her sweet spirit. Thank you for walking with her through those good times and those difficult ones. And today, I pray that you would comfort the family and friends who have gathered right here in this place. God, they miss you dearly. I pray that they would rest and find comfort in you, knowing one day soon you will make things right and we will be in your presence. And we thank you for this promise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well coordinated.
It's been a little stressful.
Evidently, I have the honor to speak first. And in the honor of keeping it short, I have to set my timer because I was told by my mom, no more than 5 minutes. Timer started. So first, I'd like to thank you all for taking the time to be here. I think it's a testament to the lives that my mom touched. So on behalf of Brian, Nate, and I, the Curley family, Vanda Whitey family, thank you. So she went by a lot of different names, Jessie, Jess, Aunt Jitter, or Aunt Jessie, Jitter, but as we got to call her, Mom. And I tell you, we couldn't have lucked out any better to have her as our mom. So she was a strong woman. She raised us. She protected us. Life wasn't always good, but she made it good. She figured out a way. She always had an answer. She guided us. She protected us. I think she did a pretty good job. I can speak for myself. These two, I'm not so sure. But, you know, as I said, she always knew what to do. And I'll get back to that one later. She was caring, compassionate, a dedicated life caring for people, both at work and outside of work. She was a proud nurse, one of the 50 fabulous, and she had done 45 years in the healthcare profession. So the caring, compassionate mom. I had a pretty traumatic injury at age 9. You know what I'm talking about. Thanks for helping me on that. So
wouldn't leave me hanging.
You know that one too. So I wanted the caring, compassionate mom, but I got Nurse Jessie. I didn't know it at the time, but that's what I needed. That taught me so much in life that would help carry me through some situations. But her ability to compartmentalize in the tragedy and chaos that's going on served me real well until we're in Dr. Miller's office. And for the first time, I heard my mom say she didn't know what to do. And that hurt me so bad. But I had to compartmentalize. What would mom do? I did the best I could, and I hope she appreciates it. Middle child, I've enjoyed some privileges. And one of, I think, the highest privileges is for her to ask me to speak at her service. But our mom, well-traveled, adventurous, she lived a good life. Very passionate, patriotic American, constitutional conservative. She loved basketball, quilting, horse racing, and was often the life of the party. That's the mom I remember. So I came out to visit before her passing, and when I got back to Jacksonville, I was reminded, Jacksonville, Florida, for those that don't know, I was reminded of a story as I'm driving up to a bridge that goes over the Intracoastal Waterway. There was a car on the side of the road with a young man trying to push the car up the hill onto the shoulder of the road. I thought, wow. I pulled over. I helped him get to the car to the side of the road. His girlfriend was in the front seat. It happened to be his birthday. So I get him to the side of the road. I think everything's great. I get back to my car. Something stopped me. Stopped me dead in my tracks. And I said, I didn't ask them if they were just out of gas or if they broke down. Well, the significance of this is my mom came to visit me when I was stationed in Bremerton, Washington. And we had gone over to the Seattle-Tacoma side. And if you've ever been in the area, there's a bridge called the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. Very steep. So we'd been out. We were in a Chevy Venture minivan. And gas gauge was getting low. My mom kept reminding me. She was eyeballing it, say, I better get some gas. Well, I like the challenge of seeing how low I can get. What I did not account for was that was on level ground, but as soon as you start going up the bridge, the gas goes away. So we're stuck on the side of the road. My mom is furious with me. I have wind or the kids. It's hot. And, just about there, so I'm about done. As I was driving the couple to get some gas and bring them back to their vehicle, I told them that story, and I just found it so fitting. My time is up. There's so many more stories I could share, all of them good, and I'm sure you have your own stories to share, and we have some time after this. So once again, thank you for being here, and love you, Mom.
Okay, mine's shorter than Dan's.
Maybe.
I had a timer, 459.1 seconds.
So I'm Sarah, and per Jesse's wishes, we picked one of us to speak on behalf of Jesse's daughters-in-law. We have Meredith, married to Brian, Windra, married to Dan, and me, married to Nate. So this won't be news to anyone who knew her, but Jesse was an amazing person. She was pragmatic, yet fun-loving and spontaneous. Generous, yet boundaried, kind, yet brokered no BS, and adventurous, positive, and spunky. Marrying into this family, I didn't know what to expect, especially as I was marrying the baby. My first time meeting her was Thanksgiving 2007 at Roper Lake. She, Nate, Brian, and Meredith, and their kids were all camping for the weekend and invited me to join them. Jessie was welcoming and unassuming, and it was like she made a little space into which I could easily and comfortably slide and belong. Up and to the right, up and to the right.
If you look up and to the right, you're not supposed to cry.
Yeah.
It's not working.
I wasn't accustomed to including parents in my travel plans as an adult, but Jesse's sons were, and Jesse was often a feature in vacations and events. She was always there, not in a creepy way, connected to our lives. Her love just stretched out. She got to know our families and embraced everything about us into her lives, not just as the wives of her sons. Shortly after Nate and I got engaged, we all traveled, we all traveled to Guam to visit Dan and Windra and their kids. And this was my first major exposure to life as a Curly. We hiked the Spanish Steps, and if you've never done it, there's a 104-foot elevation change. I swear, it's all on one cliff. You have to practically rappel down. So we all managed, and Jessie was undaunted in her white terry cloth outfit. She grabbed the rope ladder, she found a foothold, and slowly but surely made her way down. She didn't complain, didn't balk, and didn't back down. She just took on the challenge and was ready for the next adventure. I remember watching her doing this and watching her over the years as she took other trips with family and with Jackie and thinking, I want to be like her when I grow up. Meredith remembers when their family and Jesse woke up before dawn one January day to drive from Flagstaff to Monument Valley to watch the moon set and the sunrise. Jesse nearly bowed out because it was really early and really cold. And Meredith asked her when they would have a chance to all be in that location together again and have that experience. And Jesse said, you're right, and off they went. In 2020, Jesse went to Florida to visit Dan and Windra. Okay.
She's ready.
They all drove their RV to Charleston, South Carolina, the RV's first trip. While they were there, they realized there was a NASCAR race happening around the same time, about 2 hours away, at Darlington Raceway, the track too tough to tame. Windra had an opportunity to get last-minute tickets, and they asked Jesse if she was interested in going. And Jesse said, well, I've never been. And so off they went. And she thoroughly enjoyed herself there, even though apparently she had no idea who was first or last. When she was diagnosed with cancer and went on this journey, she largely maintained her spunk. She stayed positive and balanced in the face of adversity and was honest with what was going on with her so we could advocate for her, even with the scary and really hard pieces. She trusted us, which was a gift. Jesse wanted to do her best, always, and show up well for her sons and their families. She bought a book, 52 Ways to Be a Good Mother-in-Law, before Dan married Windra, and she read it as each son married. I think Jesse took this book seriously.
A little NASCAR flag.
She was all the things you hope a mom would be, and none of the things you worry a mother-in-law would be. The last chapter in the book is titled, Choose to Be a Good Mother-in-Law. And we can all say she did that. Good job,
Sam. All right, my paper is much less formal and fancy. We were all spitballing this morning, just trying to remember some stories. We are all our grandkids, yeah. I want to start by saying how nice it is to be surrounded by people I haven't seen in so long. Friends, family, people I don't know, but obviously Jesse is touched. And thank you all for being here. I wish it was under better circumstances, but nonetheless, it is nice, and yeah. So, scanning. Some common themes that we all... Where is that? Common themes we all agreed upon with grandma's, her adventurous spirit, her optimism, a nurturing personality, soothing voice, and a fun attitude. A lot of our fondest memories with her revolved around experiences and quality time, and that's two things we've all been raised to value and appreciate. We could talk for hours about memories with her, but here's just a few that stick out to us. Trips to Mount Lemmon, I think she's taken all of us at some point. I remember one time Zoe and I went with her and we were scooping ladybugs by the handful. It was ladybug season or something that stuck out. Magic carpet mini golf. If you live in Tucson, you know that. Playing with our dad's old Legos and their toys and just time at the house there. No matter how far away we lived, because Zoe and I are in Hawaii, we would always get baked goodies. Plastic IKEA bags, still whole, not crumbly. She did a good job packing them. Going to the zoo, Madeline really liked that. Picking her up from school and ducks. Ducks was an inside joke she had with her. Yeah. And as carefree and silly and all these things she was also guided by faith and a steadfast moral compass. And like Dan said, you know, or no, Pastor, I don't know your name. she could lay down the law if she needed to, right? She was fun and all this, but she could, yeah. And they really don't make them like her anymore. And we did lose a treasure of a person, but, you know, keep her in our hearts and our stories and our minds, and she's still with us. I do believe she's in a better place now and smiling down on us. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
It as well.
Hello, my name's Tim Schaefer. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ Community Church. I just want to start this with another prayer. Father, as we talk about Jesse Curley. I ask for encouragement for everyone that's here, specifically for the family, for Brian and Dan and Nate's families, their kids and wives. Thank you for Steve and for Lynn. I ask that you would encourage them and build them up, losing a sister. May we honor Jesse, continue through the day, and continue to bring you glory as we remember her. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesse, I don't want to cry, man. Jesse Curley was one of the most sweet and encouraging people that I have met. This past year, her battle with cancer, she would call me and give me an update on her treatment and ask for a prayer. And I'm pretty sure that every time she called, that she encouraged me more than the other way around. And she was someone that I always wanted to see on Sunday, because if I could go say hello to her, the excitement and the smile that was returned when greeting me, it was just inspiring. So thank you, Jesse Curley, for modeling love and a way to inspire others. And just a quick story. One of the early times when I first met her, and Jackie was there, we were at this, some of the pastors were sitting down with the widows of our church, and Jesse asked me, how come we were serving watered-down lemonade instead of margaritas? So I said, I don't know. One of Jesse's theme verses this past year was Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now Jesse was strong and courageous, but her strength was not her own. She told me once that when she was reflecting about her cancer treatment, she said, I don't want to die. But when I do, I know where I'm going. She looked forward to heaven. No matter the number of years that you live on this earth, it's too short. The death of a loved one is a reminder of its brevity. It has the ability to create pause in our own life when we consider our frailty. Hopefully, though, Jesse's life and death on this earth will help each of us refocus our hearts and minds on what's to come into eternity. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church in Philippi, Philippians 1:21. He wrote, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And Jesse knew about God's plan of salvation and could resonate with Paul when he wrote that, because about death, because her ultimate hope wasn't in this world. It wasn't in the now. It was in eternity in Jesus. And it's Jesse's faith in God and his son, Jesus Christ, that allows us to feel relieved in the face of death and not overwhelmed by it. One of the verses in the Bible that I know Jesse was familiar with is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And years ago, when Jesse came to believe in Jesus, she became a new creation in Christ. Jesus changed her forever. Isaiah 30:21 says, and your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Jesse knew that God was directing her path, even when she faced uncertain difficulties. In Revelation 21, it describes two futures that are possible when someone dies. And I'm going to read that. The Apostle John wrote Revelation, and he said, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be
with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." He also said, "Write this down, for these are words that are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in a lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Two distinct futures paths are described in Revelation. One for the immoral, who are unrepentant and unforgiven of their sin, whose place will be in fire and sulfur. And one where Christ has made all things new, where God himself takes residence with creation, with human beings. A place where those who live with God have no more tears or death or mourning or crying, because in that place, those things cease to exist. A place called heaven. And in the Bible, heaven is described as a beautiful place without the curse and pain of sin, where the Lamb of God, Jesus, has completely wiped away suffering. In heaven, believers are given new heavenly bodies. And because of this future in heaven, we can be here now, right here, talking about Jessie passing, and remember her and have expectant hearts. Because Jesus, God's only son, was killed 2,000 years ago and shed his blood. And because he then rose from the dead 3 days later, we have a way to be forgiven of our sin by believing in Jesus Christ. And because of this gift of salvation, we have hope in the future. John 11:25 records Jesus saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even if he dies." In the ancient city of Thessalonica, archaeologists had uncovered an inscription that says, "After death, no reviving. After the grave, no meeting again." And the Greek poet Theocritus, he wrote, "Hopes are among the living, the dead are without hope." And that was the belief of much of the ancient world. It's the belief of many in our world today. It's doleful, it's despairing. Now, Paul, he wrote a letter to the church in Thessalonica, that same city. And I want to read what he said, because he's assuring the people that live there about a similar experience, about death. But not just death of anyone, death of someone who believes and knows Jesus Christ. So he has a different message. And I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. He writes, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left unto the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Paul says to encourage one another with his words because they give us hope. And unlike a life without Christ, a Christian has something to look forward to, and that's in heaven. And one of those things we can anticipate is a reunion. When the Lord returns, believers who are alive are going to be reunited with Christian loved ones that have passed away. Death can leave people feeling empty and afraid here on earth. But Christians can still be joyful at a service like this because it's not permanent, right? It's not the end of the story. And this is the hope that Jessie had in Jesus. And she has eternity to live. And we who know Christ have much to look forward to in heaven along with her. Let's pray again. Oh God, thank you so much for Jessie Curley. You say in 1 Thessalonians to always rejoice, to constantly pray, and in everything to give thanks. And we thank you for Jessie's life. Thank you for her as a friend, a dear friend, as a mother, as a grandmother, as a sister, and so much more. Thank you for Jessie's legacy with her family and friends, and for her love for others and for you. I ask for special peace. Grant peace for all of us that are here today, Lord. May the memories of Jessie help us focus more clearly on loving one another, on obeying you, and on heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine.
a hard act to follow. I'm Steve, and I'm Jesse's lasting brother. We had another one. He skipped out on us early in life. So I'm left, Sister Lynn, and I have one more sister, Barb, that couldn't be here. She is in her 80s and struggling a little bit with dementia. So we're just keeping her informed. But my sister was an amazing lady. Her and I go way back. There was nine of us, and you would never believe this, but she was a little lazy. Yeah, I mean, she must have been in her early teens, but she hated to do the crimes alone, so she would gather me up to be with her. So she didn't get punished as bad if I was with her. So we would hide when she was in trouble. We had a good relationship with each other. And I've followed her throughout our life. We've kept running into each other, and I wandered the earth for a while, and I would always end up in Tucson trying to find a job to get home, and she would always take me in and encourage me. So she was an amazing lady, and I loved her dearly. And one other thing I wanted to say. Back home, we're up from northern Michigan. We're not quite keeping up with what's happening in America up there. But I always take my grandkids with me. Well, not all of them, but I take some of them. We call them funerals back home. But because at a funeral, you really know what's important in life. So I always bring some along, and then I ask them afterwards, well, now what's really important? Did you hear what they were telling you was important? So, and Jessie would pass the test with flying colors, let me tell you. She was the best. So just recently, we were talking, and she was talking about a devotional that she used. I said, what? She said, yeah, this Jesus Calling book. I said, I've been doing that for 9 years. This is mine, the worn out one. Jessie's a little bit worn. So anyway, I said, that is amazing. Both you and I doing the same devotional. So what I want to read to you is the one that would have been for August 13, which was, 2 days ago? If she would have been living, she would have read this. And I know this is what she would want me to bring to you. This is what it says. Learn to enjoy life more. Relax. Remember that I am God with you. I crafted you with enormous capacity to know me and enjoy my presence. When my people wear sour faces and walk through their lives with restrained rigidity, I am displeased. I don't like it. When you walk through a day with childhood delight, savoring every blessing, you proclaim your trust in me, your ever-present shepherd. The more you focus on my presence with you, the more fully you will enjoy life. I'm going to say that again. The more you focus on my presence with you, the more fully you will enjoy life. Glorify me through your pleasure. Glorify me through your pleasant. I might kind of scribble through that in me. Thus you proclaim my presence to the whole watching world. We have an assignment. We are to bring it to the world. So, anyway, both of us on the same plane. I don't know how many years we've been doing this together. Never even knew it. So. A great lady. I can't even imagine her being gone. You know, I think God should have left her a lot longer, because certainly these guys need a little help, and the rest of us do. I'm not throwing them under the bus. But anyway, that's it. I'm just going to close with prayer, I guess. So, unless anyone might have a great... But... No? Oh, we got 1 hour. Life passes so quickly, doesn't it? Okay, I'm going to close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're gathered here to honor the life of Jessie Curley. Lord, she is with you. We're even kind of a bit jealous. So, but we thank you for her tenacity, and we thank you for her love for her family and for her friends. She's got a lot of great friends, Lord. Thank you for that example she left us. And as we go forward from here, help us not to be discouraged. Help us to have the same vision she had. Let us only imagine what it's going to be like, Lord. So help us to remember what's good, forget the bad junk out there, and let us give and praise your name every day of the life that you continue to give us here on earth. And let us not forget our Jessie. In your awesome name, amen.
I have a couple, a few announcements before we leave. I'm going to dismiss us. If you are all invited to a reception that's going to be immediately right when we close here. It's in our Family Life Center building, which is directly across our campus if you walk out these doors. And there's going to be a table also where Jessie collected scarves and crosses. So you can go and look at those and see those, but the family would like you to know that you are welcome to choose one and take it home and remember Jessie with it. So please help yourself to a scarf or cross. And then one more announcement. At 2:30, the family is going to be leaving and going to a private graveside, so family-only service. So make sure you visit with them and you give them a hug before 2:30. So let me go ahead and dismiss us with a prayer one more time. Lord, we thank you again for Jessie. Thank you for her life and her friendship. Thank you for the hope we have in eternity. May your will be done, and may we bring you glory as we remember Jessie Curley. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace.
One day at a time. I'm only human, I'm just a woman. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. Cheating and stealing, violence and crime. So for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone. and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way. One day at a time.